This morning I would like to speak on, it's not there, but Luke 15, the title of my message is From Failure to Success. Luke chapter 5, Pastor Ray had been speaking to us a series of several messages on the book of Luke. So while reviewing or reading through, scanning through the book of Luke, I came through this chapter 5, and it says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." Four events described in this chapter illustrate how the Lord is concerned for individuals. Verse 1 speaks of the crowd, the multitude. But in verse 1 to 11, or the whole chapter deals more of people, individual. Although the chapter starts with a crowd, but he was dealing with individual in the whole chapter. Verse 1 to 11 is about the calling of Peter. Verses 12 to 15, the cleansing of the leper. One man. Verses 16 to 26, when he healed the man sick of palsy, remember that? Was let down on the roof because there were lots of people, crowd, but he dealt with that individual man sick of palsy. And then verse 27 to 39, Jesus calls a publican named Levi, a tax collector. These people are not looked upon by most in the community because they're considered sinful, corrupt tax collectors. Levi, or rather a publican named Levi. He was a tax collector. In this case, I don't know, Dr. Luke did not write anything on the subject of the sermon of Jesus while using the boat as his platform or pulpit. There were only three verses mentioned devoted to his preaching to the crowd who was on the boat. Verse 4 is really about one man, Peter. But this was not Jesus' first encounter with Peter. You'll remember that in John chapter 1, verse 42, Andrew knew Jesus ahead of Peter. And so he first found his brother Peter and told him, "We have found the Messiah." And he brought Peter to him. They followed Jesus for some time, but then they returned to their trade. Fishermen, as fishermen. Now they would call Peter and Andrew into time of discipleship. This time, discipleship. Verse 1 says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed on him," what's the kind of crowd? The people or the crowd pressed on him that he was forced to go into the sea, borrow a boat. But they were not violent. They were not unruly. But they was just pressed because they presumed that, they believed that as if he was speaking the word of God. And that because they perceived, the verse says in King James, they perceived that his word as the word of God, but still they just perceived. The place is the Sea of Galilee or Gennesaret. Jesus used to teach in the synagogues, but now he was preaching by the sea on a boat as his pulpit. That's the first time and only one recorded that kind of preaching. In verses 1 to 3, As I mentioned, there was no record on the theme of the message, what the message was. Jesus preached to the crowds, but his messages are always geared towards individual. He has preached several times to crowd, but then he always sees somebody, a person. Remember in John chapter 2, I'd like to open that. In John chapter 2, verses 24 or 23, Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. They believed because of the miracles. Verse 24, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. Verse 25, and needed not that any man should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. That's the last verse of chapter 2. And then the Bible was not written originally with verses, divided verses and chapters. And then it went on to the following sentence, chapter 3, verse 1. But there was a man named Nicodemus who came to Jesus by night. And Jesus had a very good conversation with this man, Nicodemus, chapter 3, when he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So it's a one-on-one. He was concerned about individuals. Jesus did not commit himself to the crowd because they were after his miracles. But he committed to this man, Nicodemus, because he was sincere. He was searching for the truth. From crowd to person. In verse 4 of chapter 5, he left the crowd, or the record, as Matthew recorded it, there was no mention about the crowd, but verse 4 says, he went to Peter. We are in chapter 5, verse 4. And now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught or for a catch. Before preaching, I would assume while studying this, I said, there's a gap, there's something silent about between verse 1 to verse 4. What could be the message of Jesus? And where was Peter? I would guess in my own imagination, Peter must not be inside the crowd, but must be somewhere outside the crowd, sitting from a distance, because his boat was there being used. Listening, intently listening, serious listener to the message. I would assume that even if he didn't have sleep the whole night, fishing the whole night, disappointed, no catch at all, but still he must have listened intently to the message of Jesus, because this was not his first encounter with Jesus, as he mentioned. Philip brought him to Jesus, and then Jesus said, thou art Peter, son of Jonas. You know that verse, rock? In verse 3 he said, thrust out your boat a little from the land. At that time, while listening, I would mention that Peter could have gone to sleep while Jesus was preaching, sleepy, all night. But he was an intended listener. So while preaching in the crowd, Jesus knew a man, Peter, from a distance. He said, thrust out your boat a little from the land. But before this, in verse 4, he told Peter, launch out your boat a little farther into the sea so that he can use it as a pulpit, platform where he can preach. So there were two commands. First, launch out your boat a little farther from the land and came to stay there and preach because people are pressing on him. After his message, his sermon, Jesus said, Peter, launch out into the deep for a draught catch. Jesus knew they don't have any catch, no fish at all. He knew it. He doesn't only the verse is, he not only knew what was in man, but he knew what's happening. There was no cuts. Peter could have argued with Jesus and said, what? A seasoned fisherman? I'm a seasoned fisherman. That's my trade. He could have argued with Jesus, debated on the mechanics of how to fish. We did everything, but still no cuts. You, a carpenter's son, telling a seasoned fisherman how to catch fish? No way. A carpenter's son telling a seasoned fisherman. But before we go on, let's mention about fishermen, their qualities that make them for success. By the way, most of the disciples of Jesus were fishermen. I think there were 6 or 7 of those. They were fishermen of the 12. Okay, fishermen, their qualities, they are courageous, there is patience, determination, they were daring, and they help one another. Because fishing at that time, they don't fish by hook, by rod. They fish by net. You cannot fish by net alone. They help one another. If you have seen on TV the deadliest cuts, crabbing in Alaska, you'll understand this word, patience, courage, determination, how they help one another. Let me tell you a brief testimony. When I was a young boy, I grew up in the Philippines. We live in a shoreline, by the shoreline, where there are lots of fishermen. Sometimes when the weather is not really good, big waves, but waves far there in the ocean are solid, round. But when they reach near the shore, they break up. And fishermen, they have their boat, or we call them banca, good for one passenger, small one, one or two. They try to take chances when the waves are good, small waves, they push and be able to go beyond the breaking waves. But they tried several times before they can cross. Once they are there and farther, they just scoop the water out and then go on, fish for the whole night. But several attempts, and there are many people on the shore, I'm one of those, when they cross at breaking waves, we clap our hands, we applaud. We're happy because we know the following day we'll have fish. We'll have fish. Lunging against the waves. Go to the deep and let down your net. Peter's reply, Master, all night we have toiled. No cuts, no fish at all. Nevertheless, in King James says, nevertheless. And in NIV says, but because you said so, I will let down the net. Because you said so. Peter had obeyed. Had Peter not obeyed the first command, launch out your boat a little farther from the shore, Jesus would have told him, perhaps, to launch out into the deep. Here we see Peter's exercise of his faith. He called him master, meaning submission to an authority. Faith to trust his boat a little farther from the land the first time. And now we have that faith to believe. We didn't have cuts, nevertheless. Master, I will do. In spite of Peter, we see here that there was faith. Jesus knew that there didn't have any cuts. But go ahead, let down your net. This is beyond Peter's comprehension. He couldn't understand. I'm a seasoned fisherman, Peter must have said. You're a carpenter's son. Usually sons inherit or follow the profession of their father. He must be a carpenter too, Jesus, must know carpentry. This speaks of faith on the part of Peter to obey, because faith is unreasonable. It goes beyond reason. Faith is not practical. And then faith is goes beyond what is logical, what is normally what normally should be done. It's the opposite sometimes. But he said, Master, verse 5, it shows that he submitted. He was in submission. He recognized the authority of Jesus. At thy word, this is obedience in spite of. This happened many times in our lives. It seems it goes beyond logic, beyond our reasoning. We feel that Spirit is telling us, and then something happened to our lives. Lord, it's okay. In spite of, I will cling on to your promise. I'll cling on. You are with us. The Spirit is in us. In our ministry, though we cut nothing, let's not quit our calling. 2 Timothy 2:3 says, endure hardness as good soldiers of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, Paul said, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. The result, verse 6, they have tremendous cuts. Their net break. The boat began to sink. But they shared their cuts to the other boat. They were sharing. They were not a reservoir of the blessing of the huge cuts, but they became channel of the cuts, of the blessing. They shared the cuts, the fish, with the other boat. They shared. We're not reservoir of God's blessings. Whatever God has blessed us, bless others with the blessing that God has shared with us. Some fish, when the net broke, I believe that there are lots of fish that get out of the net. And yet, two boats were filled. They didn't look at the loss of the fish that went out, but they look at the cuts, what they have, not those. Some people would dwell on the loss in their business. I could have earned this much had it not been for this loss. But they were not concerned about giving thanksgiving for the gain that they have. There was no mention about the loss, but the cuts. Not the problem. They didn't look at the problem, but the blessings. As a brief testimony, many of you know that my wife and I had been terminated our job as property manager after 13 years. Not only terminated, but in that letter from a lawyer, not only terminated, but also evicted. Evicted from our place. That's why we live now in Tracy, he said. We came from Tracy. And it's not easy to take it. There, it's hard. But then we have to exercise our faith. The Lord must be working on something, and sometimes it's difficult to dwell on the negative side, but go on. My wife would say, because we were given just a few days to vacate, we're not able to bring many things. My wife would always mention, I left my there, my good shoes. I said, forget it. Forget. Let's look forward how the Lord will work in our lives. Those things can be it can be changed. Don't dwell on the loss, on what you left in the apartment. But now the Lord, we have a new life. And we feel light. We feel blessed. Even if we lost that job, the apartment, we're okay before the Lord. Before the Lord. It was not easy. It took a little time. But God be blessed. Whatever it is, the Lord be blessed. And everything give thanks. The fish got out. Yet two boats were filled with fish. Don't dwell on the loss, but on the gains. Perhaps not immediate gains, but on the gains ahead that God is preparing for us ahead. Illustration, I would like to illustrate. It reminds me of, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot's wife, he left many things in Sodom. He said, God told them, don't look back. But Lot turned his back, looked back, and he turned into a pillar of salt. Reminds me of a Sunday school class, teacher teaching about this subject of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot's wife becoming a salt. One boy in the class said, Ma'am, one day my mother was driving. He looked back and he turned into an electric pole. Because he turned back, he turned into an electric pole. He didn't understand Lot's wife turning into a pillar of salt. He thought it was a pillar of salt. Okay. How did the miracle change Peter? Was he overwhelmed of the cuts? No. He saw the Lord. From then on, that verse, there was no mention of the fish. They have gone to the market now. To the market we go. Big cuts. But he called him Lord. He fell down on his knees and worshiped him. There was worship. You don't worship only in church, in home, but right there, by the seaside, by the shore. Then, when he saw the Lord and worshiped him, he saw his sinfulness. Then he says, depart from me. Verse 8, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. When he saw the holiness of the Lord Jesus, he saw his sinfulness. Remember Isaiah 6? In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, because before that he used to make a hero of Josiah, the king, not the Lord. But when the Lord took away Josiah, he saw the Lord. And when he saw the Lord, he said, woe am I. And then he said, Lord, send me. I'm willing to go all the way with you. The challenge of Jesus in verse 10 says, and so was also James and John Zebedee, and said, fear not. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. He still will be a fisherman, but he will catch men. They had been catching live fish, and when they caught them, the fish died. Now they would catch dead fish, dead in trespasses and sins. And now they would live to eternal life for the glory of God with the Lord in heaven. Verse 11 says, they forsook all. What happened to the fish? Great cuts. Two boats filled with fish. They forsook all. They followed Jesus. Verse 10, they here refers to not only Peter, but James and John, the sons of Zebedee, three of them. This is not a response to mission. Jesus did not call them to go to the mission field, but to a person, himself, the Lord Jesus. I remember when I was in the Philippines in college days, we have a missionary in the New Tribes Mission, American organization that go to tribes. Once a year they have mission conference, and the last day they invite as many churches as they can and have a conference and present their mission. We don't have PowerPoints, but they have what call that slide? What do you put a slide projector? Pictures of the native, their mission. And then they challenge young people and church members to go into mission field. But then only then some young people responded, but then didn't take long. They came back. Why? Because the challenge was to the mission field through the slides. But only later on I realized that the challenge, Jesus did not challenge anyone to go to the mission field. But his primary challenge was, follow me, first to himself. If we can settle that challenge to the Master, to Jesus, mission will follow. It's the love of Christ that constrains us to go, not the other way around, go to mission, and then we love Christ more, because we are now missionaries. We work. But Jesus said, follow me, and then I will make you missionaries, or workers, fishers of men. To be a disciple is to learn, it's like on-the-job training, to learn by observing and doing what the Master is doing. Mission is not a call to a place, culture, or group of people, but to a person, the Lord. Follow me. Be a disciple first, and then I will make you missionaries, workers. The love of Christ constrains us, not the thrill of the mission field, but the joy of being with the Master. I've worked as missionary in our place, to a province. It's not fun. After graduating from Bible school, the first time I saw this kind of people, the place, different from my people, from my place, that could have been disappointing. Yeah, disappointing, but because I've settled one thing, that the love of Christ, because I'm there, not because of these people, but because of Christ. In obedience to Christ, man, as a disciple, follower of Christ, the love of Christ will keep us going. With the great cuts, as I mentioned, to the market that you have gone. But they forsook their nets. They forsook their nets and followed Jesus, verse 11. What nets do we have that are keeping us from following Jesus? Let's pray. Lord, we thank thee for thy word. It's a light into our path. And encouragement to once again cast our faith on thee, that indeed you are the only one. To whom shall we go? But Master, thou hast the words of eternal life. Thank you for this time of worship. In Jesus' name, amen.